know what those images are, raise your hand. Okay, not many of you, some of you. If you look in the very bottom of each of the two panels, on the left side, you see Mount Fuji. And on the right side, you see a torii gate. These are who we are. We have Japan imprinted on the image of the seminary. And I really do want to take some time to bring this to your attention, because our relationship with these two universities in northern Japan, in Sendai, is very precious to us, and I have all the more felt that when I traveled over there in July. If you read the local paper, there's a story about it in the paper, the signing of a historic agreement between Lancaster Theological Seminary and Tohoku Gakuin University so that we can facilitate more exchanges between our two institutions of students, faculty, and all kinds of programming. It's very exciting. And I'm also just so very touched by the tremendous hospitality that I received when I was there, and the sense that the people in Japan regard Lancaster Theological Seminary as their spiritual founder. And so we are cherished and respected by people in northern Japan, and I want to be sure that we are very much aware of this, and we look forward to opportunities ourselves to strengthen the ties that are there. Well, this morning, besides our special relationship with Japan, I want to talk about the parable of the sower. This was the scripture text that I took with me to Japan when I preached in two chapel services, one in Tohoku Gakuin University and the other in Miyagi Gakuin University. And I think you'll see why as we go a little deeper into this scripture passage. I also think this passage gives us some encouragement today for how we sow the seed of the gospel in our current context. So to me, the most curious question that is raised by this parable is, why did the sower waste so much seed? I don't think you'd find a Lancaster County farmer just throwing that seed around anywhere on the path and the road and anywhere where it landed. Most farmers are careful about where they sow the seed. So our clever worship team, has created an illustration of this parable, and I want to be sure you see what they have prepared for us. Some seed fell on the path, and as it says in the scripture, the seed could not go below the surface. The birds came along and it ate it up. Some seed fell on the rocky ground, and the seed could not take root. Seedlings could not form. Some seed fell among the weeds, and the thorns choked the plants, and the seedlings could not bear fruit. And some seeds fell on the good soil. This looks like really good soil. And I think we all know the result of that. The increase from these tiny seeds of a hundredfold, a picture of abundance that occurred from the sower that just planted it everywhere, just threw it all over the place. So what is the meaning of this? Why this parable? Why would Jesus tell this parable? Well, the disciples were puzzled about it too. As the scripture passage said, they approached Jesus and they said, "Would you please explain this to us?" So Jesus said that the story was parallel to preaching the gospel, to his preaching the gospel. The seed is the good news of God's reign, of God's love, of God's grace, and God's mercy. And it's a seed that can grow inside of us. So the disciples were thinking, well, why this parable? And I think Jesus was saying that it happens that when you preach this wonderful gospel, when you plant this seed, there are always going to be some people who receive it with joy, and it grows inside of them and they flourish. And there will be some who never embrace it. And that certainly was true in Jesus' own ministry. He preached to huge audiences of people, people that were so numerous that he had to preach from a boat so that they could gather around him in a cove. But still, some did not embrace the gospel. And I think that this is an important word to us, that we also sometimes should expect failure when we preach. Of course, we would like everyone to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we know from this parable to be encouraged, because this describes how the gospel sometimes is a stepping stone for some people and a stumbling block for others. So shifting over to the story of Japan, over 130 years ago, two Lancaster Seminary graduates went over to Japan to answer God's call to be missionaries. In 1885, our Lancaster Seminary graduate, William Hoy, from Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, responded to a call to spread the gospel in Japan. So he was commissioned by what was then called the German Reformed Church, the predecessor denomination to the United Church of Christ, by a mission board to go over to Japan. And he landed in Tokyo, where he met a Japanese convert to Christianity named Reverend Oshikawa. And Reverend Oshikawa was a very impressive, tall man who came from a samurai family. And he had already experienced great success in his ministry of preaching. He was an evangelist and he founded churches already. So he said to William Hoy, our graduate, "Don't stay in Tokyo where the mission already exists. I think there's some good soil up in Sendai in northern Japan. Come with me there." And so they went up to northern Japan where Reverend Oshikawa already had a church. And they founded two schools, one for boys and one for girls. And after these schools were, the idea was there, the mission board sent over two other missionaries, two female teachers, to teach at the girls' school. They also came from central Pennsylvania. Elizabeth Pourbois was from Harrisburg, and Mary Ault was from Mechanicsburg. And they arrived to join in this mission of starting these schools. And then 1 year later, the second Lancaster Seminary graduate arrived, David Schneider, and he got involved in this mission as well. So it was the four of these people from central Pennsylvania, plus Reverend Oshikawa, plus the mission board back here in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and other parts of central Pennsylvania that planted the seeds that eventually turned into two very large and wonderful Christian universities today. So what is really striking to me about this is that these were young people. William Hoy was 28 years old. David Schneider was 29 years old. Elizabeth Pourbois was 28 years old. and Mary Ault was 21 years old. And no, I think that 22 years old. I've got two here people who will correct me on that. She was 22. So these young people, along with Reverend Oshikawa, who was also a fairly young person, he was 35 years old, started this bold vision, this bold project of founding these two universities. And so for myself personally, when I was over visiting the universities, it reminded me of something I hadn't thought about in years, about my own personal story. When I was 21 years old, I responded to a call to be a missionary. And I actually pursued it with the mission board of the Presbyterian Church. And I was appointed to go to Chungju, Korea, to teach English. Well, my parents weren't very happy about that. They jumped in the car and drove up to Massachusetts, where I was in college, and tried to talk me out of it. But being 21 years old, that was tough luck. I was going to do what I was going to do. So I would have done it. This isn't so important to the story, but I, at the same time, was nominated for a fellowship to attend seminary. And I figured a seminary education could be useful and prepare me even more if someday I became a missionary. So as it turns out, I did not go to Chungju, Korea. But what this reminded me of my 21-year-old self was just how compelling the gospel is. The gospel is such good news that we will give our lives to it. We will disobey our parents. We will make sacrifices because we believe that we have words of life for people. We believe that it's a privilege and an honor to be able to join God in God's wondrous ways of bringing grace and mercy to the life of the world. And we believe that God has created us in the image of God with tremendous dignity, and it's critical for us to seek justice for all people. This is part of the mission of God. And this is the best adventure there is in life. And perhaps that's why you're here today at seminary as well, starting this new semester. Many of you are making sacrifices to be here. You're taking risks to be here. You're inconveniencing your families. But you believe that you are called. And you share that experience with our missionaries. Well, I want to tell you just a few things about what happened to them when they were in Japan. They had a lot of challenges. And you might think that missionaries live a glorious life of one miracle right after another. But as I was reading the story of these missionaries, it seems like the phrase, pick up your cross and follow me, seems to fit their experience a lot more. There were many crosses to bear in this story. The story started out with many differences of opinion that had to be resolved. Should the mission be direct evangelism or education? Should the mission consolidate in the city of Tokyo because of their scarce resources? Or should they take a risk and spread out to northern Japan, to Sendai? Should they expend resources on educating girls? That was not an accepted thing at the time. And after the schools were established for a few years, there was pressure from the government to take over the schools, and they would have dissolved the Christian mission and made it a totally secular curriculum. And the missionaries had many personal sacrifices. Their health suffered for various reasons. William Hoy himself had to leave after a few years and start a mission in a warmer climate in China because the climate in Sendai was too harsh for his asthma condition. I was really struck when I visited Sendai and went to the cemetery where the founders are buried, plus a memorial to William Hoy, to see a special part of the cemetery for the first babies of the missionaries who died. And there was a stone for the Hoy family baby and at least four other markers of these are just the first babies who died of the family. There were others. There were tremendous sacrifices, tremendous suffering. And there was never enough money. If you read the letters of these missionaries, they're always complaining about the mission to the mission board that they need more funds. They want to expand what they're doing. They're turning people away. They want to build the school. They want to make it bigger. And William Hoy and his wife, Mary Ault, gave away a portion of their modest salary just to keep the seminary, the universities, well, at this point, these were two schools, alive. There were tremendous sacrifices that they made. And it really was the Lancaster graduate named David Schneider who secured the school over time. He succeeded Reverend Oshikawa as the president of Tohoku Gakuin, and he stayed for 50 years. And he is acknowledged as the one who really secured the Christian mission of the school that continues today. So we can be very proud of our graduates. So what does this say to us today? What are the challenges that continue? Well, today only 1% of the population in Japan is Christian. That's a challenge. And when I was there, the president of one of the universities told me how difficult it was to find Christian faculty to teach at the universities and how important that was to the schools to continue its mission. And I kind of plant a seed with you. Perhaps you would like to go over to Sendai someday and be one of those people who could continue the mission of this university. They would like you to do that. So think about it. The influence of the Christian universities is way out of proportion to the size in the country. They say that 1 in 10 university-educated Japanese persons was educated at a Christian university founded by the missionaries. The impact has been tremendous. And I know we feel very keenly our own challenges here in the United States. Every day we hear more news about the increase in our population of the nuns, the people who choose not to affiliate with a religious faith. And we see it in our churches. We see a declining level of participation in our churches. So how does this parable speak to us? Why scatter the seeds of the gospel in places where they're unlikely to grow? Well, I believe that what Jesus is telling us through this parable is keep scattering the seeds everywhere. Don't be discouraged if it's a path, if it's rocky ground, if it's weeds. Maybe it's good soil. But there is no limit to the seed. Don't worry about wasting it. Just spread it around. Just spread the gospel around. The gospel is unlimited because it is God who brings the growth. And that is the important thing to remember. It is God who brings the growth. And finally, I think this parable is a comfort to us, because sometimes we experience failures in ministry and we can be discouraged. And the parable is telling us to expect that. The parable is saying that there will be failures, but on the other hand, the joy of the gospel is great enough to more than make up for the discouragement of those times. It is a joy to join the company of witnesses who sow, who tend the seeds, who cultivate, who harvest the crops, the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that joy and that mission more than makes up for the failures that we sometimes experience. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And so we thank God for this calling to you, to all of us, to the people of Japan. Amen.